Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them? I ask in Jesus' name. Please be seated. There was a comedian back in the 1960s, some of you may remember, by the name of Flip Wilson. And Flip Wilson would often play a female character called Geraldine. And one of Geraldine's favorite catchphrases was, "The devil made me do it!" Well, Flip Wilson also tells the story about a black Baptist church whose pastor was preaching a sermon trying to get them inspired and enthused about the church. And so he began his sermon by saying, "If this church is going to get anywhere, it has to learn to crawl." Now, in his tradition, the people would often echo back to him something that he said as a way of encouraging him. So he said, "If this church is going to get anywhere, it has to learn to crawl." And the congregation said, "Let it crawl, Pastor, let it crawl." Then he said, if this church is going to get anywhere, after it crawls, it has to learn to walk. And the congregation said, "Let it walk, Pastor, let it walk." And he began to get excited. He said, "And if this church is going to get anywhere, it has to learn to run." And the congregation said, "Let it run, Pastor, let it run." Then he said, "If this church is going to run, it also has to learn to dig deep in its pockets and learn to give." And there was silence. Then the congregation said, "Let it crawl, Pastor, let it crawl." You know, there are a lot of churches that are just kind of crawling along. They're just kind of trying to keep the doors open. They're just trying to kind of survive. But there are some churches that have caught the vision of what the church can be and what it can do. And the giving of those churches reflects that in such a way that they are able to make an impact not only in the life of the church, but also in the life of those around them in the community. And that was kind of like the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth was a church that was founded by St. Paul. Now, before St. Paul became St. Paul, he was known as Saul of Tarsus. And Saul of Tarsus was a man who was bent on trying to destroy the church. He was arresting Christians, putting some of them to death. He was trying to destroy Christianity until on the road to Damascus, he encountered the risen Jesus Christ. And at that encounter, his life was totally changed, totally transformed. He went from an enemy of the gospel to now one who was proclaiming the gospel. He went from one who was trying to destroy Christianity to one who was now trying to establish new churches and build churches. And one of those churches was the Corinthian church. And the Corinthian church was known for its generosity. And in fact, they were able to take care of their own needs as well as reaching out and helping other struggling churches that were going through difficult times at that time. And so St. Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, and he was probably writing to some of the people there who might not have caught the vision yet, who might not have bought into the idea of being generous. And so he was writing to them about being a generous church. And if you'll turn to our second lesson today from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 on page 1801 in the Pew Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is really going to be describing here what he sees as the real purpose and the real possibilities of the church in Corinth. And he says that he begins by sharing this idea that they are a generous church. And he also begins to address those who may not have yet bought into this idea by using an image with which most of them would have been familiar. And that is the image of farming. And he begins to equate farming with giving. And so he associates the sowing of seeds in the ground with the giving of money for the kingdom of God. And look at verse 6. He says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously." When he uses that word sowing, he's talking about giving there. He encourages the church to have the right attitude when it comes to giving. And he says in verse 7, "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." So he's saying there that you're giving through the church, you need to do so with the right attitude. Not reluctantly, or because you're trying to make sure that God doesn't get mad at you, or because you're trying to assuage some sort of guilt that you might have. He says that you're to give cheerfully. As I said before, that word cheerfully in the Greek language is the word from which we get the word hilarious. So God loves a hilarious giver. And as we give with that sort of attitude, as we give with that attitude that Paul says we should, we will be abundantly blessed. Look what he says in verse 8. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. So why does God want to bless us abundantly? Well, look at verse 10. It says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, remember Paul was going to take the gifts that the Corinthian church was giving to help some of the struggling churches. And so that through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Paul is saying here that God wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. And as we're a blessing to others, not only in the church, but outside of the church, people will give thanks to God for the blessings that they've received. As a result, Paul is saying, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, the church, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Verse 13 says, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. We Christians can tend to look at giving to the church, giving to God through the church, as maybe a drudgery or an obligation or something we just kind of have to do, instead of looking at it as a joy and a privilege of being able to give back to God a portion of that which He has given to us. You may not realize this, but when you give, you are fulfilling a purpose that God has given to you. You have a purpose in giving. How many of you were good at math in elementary school? Anybody good at math in elementary school? I see a few nerds here. Well, I was all right in math in elementary school, at least until they started introducing letters to the equation. You know, it's like Tom Hanks in that movie, A League of Their Own. He says, there's no crying in baseball. Well, there's no letters in math. You know, they never listened to me, however, and so they continued to put letters in the equations. And one of the equations I do remember, however, was if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. How many of you remember that? Anybody? Well, certainly, I'm going to use an illustration that's kind of like that formula. And so if we're in our equation today, A will equal you are created in the image of God. You are created in the image of God. In Genesis chapter 1, we read these words. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. Now, that idea of being created in the image of God really is a theological concept that means that every human being was, at their birth, given an aspect in which we are like God. We have all been given a human spirit. The human spirit is the essence of who we are. And that human spirit is designed by God for us to have a relationship with Him, because as the Bible says, God is spirit. And so in order for us to have a relationship with God, we have to have a spiritual nature. And that spiritual nature is who we are. Now that nature obviously was corrupted by sin and had to be redeemed, and that's why Christ came into this world. He died for our sins in order to redeem our human spirits and allow us then to have a relationship with God. And so as we all were created with the human spirit, there is something like God within us. And that is that spirit that is within us. Like a son who has his father's eyes, so you have a reflection of God within you. Something deep within you that is like God. And certainly you are created in the image of God. So A in our formula means you were created in the image of God. B in our formula stands for the idea that God is generous. Throughout the Bible, we see examples of the generosity of God. Certainly God was generous in the fact that he gave us his love, that he gave us his forgiveness, his mercy, that God was always willing to give us another chance. And God's goodness and love has always been demonstrated by him, but perhaps nowhere more clearly than in the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave the best gift that he could give. He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so God is a giving God. God gave us his Son. He gave us his Holy Spirit to pour out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. He has given us the grace that we receive in our lives. He gives us the ability to have the things that we have. And he gives us the gifts that we need to be a blessing to others as well. So as we put our formula together, if A equals B and B equals C and A equals C, then that means that we are created in the image of God, and God is a generous God, and that means that there is something planted deep within us that is the seed of generosity. That we are hardwired for generosity. And not all of us are generous, and we don't always feel generous, but that's why we were created. We were created to be generous. You've got generosity hardwired in your soul. So when you give, you are fulfilling your purpose, doing what you were created to do in the first place. You don't give out of guilt, you give out of purpose. There was a writer, to the Hebrews says this, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Eric Holstrand writes in Leadership Magazine, "While I was preaching one Sunday, an elderly woman, Mary, fainted and struck her head on the end of the pew. Immediately an EMT from the congregation got up and called 911 and then went to her side. And as the ambulance arrived, they loaded Mary onto the stretcher. And as they were getting ready to wheel her out, Mary came back to consciousness. She regained consciousness. And she raised herself up on her elbow, and she motioned for her daughter to come near to her. And everyone in the congregation thought that perhaps Mary was going to be speaking her last words to her daughter. And so as the daughter went up to put her ear up to her lips, Mary said this, 'My offering is in my purse.'" See, for Mary, the most important thing was giving to God. The most important thing was making sure that her offering was received. Mary understood her purpose in life. She understood the reason that God had made her in his image, that she was able then to be a blessing to others through her giving. She understood the importance of sacrifice, even in her condition. I wonder how we view our giving. Do we view it simply as something we have to do, or something we kind of grudgingly give to God? Or do we do it as Paul talks about today, with a cheerful heart, with the right attitude, and with generosity? As we do that, we're not only able to be a blessing to those in the church, but we're also able to be a blessing to those outside of the church. And ultimately, that benefits the whole kingdom of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have demonstrated your love for us by giving your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and then to rise again as a demonstration of that love for us. Lord, you've given us so much. You've given us your grace, your mercy, your patience, your love. You've given us the ability to have the things that we have. You've given us the ability to enjoy life, but also to be a blessing to others. And Lord, help us to have the right perspective, have the right balance when it comes to our giving and the way we use the things that you've given to us. Ultimately, Lord, help us to remember those that are in need. Help us to help those who may not be able to help themselves. And then help us to help all of those in your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.